a relationship problem somewhere, for somebody to come to find faith in the Lord Jesus, or for any other number of issues. So we might ask, well, what's wrong with my praying? Or is there necessarily anything wrong, my end? Somebody asked me the other day, in fact, about this verse, who are the church elders who should be taking the lead in praying for people? Who are the church elders? Well, in Anglican circles, I don't think normally we refer to our leaders as elders. It might be appropriate, but I don't often hear that term used. And one commentator that I referred to interprets the church elders as the church leaders or overseers, which may be correct. But in my opinion, I think in this context, elders might well be those who are acknowledged as committed prayers amongst us. Those perhaps given a specific responsibility amongst the congregation to act in prayer for support for others. So it might be, and surely it would be, the vicar, maybe some of our vestry members, members of our prayer chain support team, those available to pray for people at the end of our service here at 10 o'clock. All sorts of possibilities. We might call them prayer elders. Surely every church needs folk committed to faithful prayer, prayer willing to be with people face to face where necessary, to pray for them, to support them, to encourage them, including for healing. And there's another significant verse in verse 16 where James urges the believers, quote, to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. And thinking about this, I thought, well, that's really saying something about our relationships, isn't it, in a congregation, in a parish. Our relationships so that we can, in fact, pray for each other that we may be healed, confessing our sins even to each other. Are we able to find someone with whom we can share some of the important issues in our lives? For that, of course, it takes trust and love in relationships to allow that to naturally happen. Doesn't need always to involve confessing our sins to one another. Have you thought about doing that? I don't think I often do that, I must admit. But if we think of that as sharing a burden that weighs heavily on us with somebody we care about and trusts us, then that's probably getting near the point. In other words, going deeper than just talking to one another about yesterday's Canterbury win over Waikato or the sailing thing over in Spain and all the rest, those interesting things, but something deeper that we can share with one another. A few months ago, I began to experience a degree of depression that was quite new to me. I shared it with some of you. I had GP help to deal with it. But I found a tremendous release when I was able to share what was going on with some of my friends, both amongst you here in the parish and elsewhere. That somehow lifted some of the burden. That was wonderful. Now, your issue may be very different from that. But let us learn, if we can, to offload some of our burdens with a Christian friend whom we trust and who will commit to support us and pray for us. Some people talk of having a prayer partner. I think it's a nice way to think of it. Somebody we turn to almost immediately when we have a problem, a weight on our shoulders of some sort. So that's one part of James' instruction in these words. But then he uses a phrase describing the kind of prayer that seems to be appropriate for supporting people. He calls it, our theme today, the prayer of faith. The prayer offered in faith. Now, what might he mean by these words? Is it as we pray for a situation that will be answered how and when we might expect? After all, there are plenty of verses in the Bible that might encourage that kind of confidence. Mark reading from chapter 11 there today, where Jesus said, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will happen, it will be done for you. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Words that surely can encourage us to be confident in prayer. And there are similar sort of encouragements, words scattered throughout the New Testament. And there are good reasons, of course, why we can be confident in prayer. But I also think we need to be careful here. As we know, experience tells us that for many of the prayers that we offer, we don't immediately find an answer we are asking for. And some of Christianity's great prayers will say the same thing. Maybe we should remember what I was taught years ago. When God answers prayer, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. Yes, no, or wait are all answers that God can choose to apply to our prayer. So I believe the prayer of faith isn't so much about the degree of faith that we can sort of build up in our hearts and minds as we put words to a prayer, but rather how confident are we in the God to whom we are praying. So it's not the great prayer that we're praying, not the degree of faith that we think we've sort of built up in our hearts, but being mindful of that it's the great God, the faithful God, who's responding to our prayer. He's listening and will deal with our prayer. It's having the confidence that as God, he can and will bring about the best for the person or the situation in his way and in his time. I remember a lovely chorus we used to sing some years ago. I don't know if we sang it here at St. Paul's, but in other churches I've been part of. He's able, he's able, I know he's able. I know my God is able to carry me through. I love it. And that's, of course, not just where and when we might like it to be, but when and how he knows best. Because in all of this, of course, there is one word that I think is crucial and should always be in our mind, the word grace. God's amazing grace. So again, saying it's not the fervent efforts that we might put into a prayer, faithful and sincere as we might be, either the words we use or even the outcome that we're anticipating. In the end, it's the grace of God that has to work and will help determine the outcome. God's love, which seeks and knows the best for each one of us, which means his wisdom, his timing, and knowing what's best will all determine how the answer to our prayer may work out. We can say, we don't know best, but he does. And it's our faith and confidence in Jesus that can lead us to pray what we call the prayer of faith. And that means, of course, that the prayer, the thanks and the praise at the end of the story goes to him rather than to ourselves or to our prayer team or to anybody else particularly. So again, how is prayer going for you? I don't know about you, but I guess sometimes this is a special gift that we have, but we can take it for granted. We don't realise what a tremendous privilege it is that he's given us. I was taught many years ago, and you can see it would be many, the value of what I still call my quiet time. So Tom and I read a passage from the Bible, guided through with Bible reading notes, that sort of bit of consistency and a little bit of help from somebody else who's writing the commentary on it, and how it can apply to my life. So that is then followed by time spent in prayer. And while I can pray my own personal prayers, and I'm sure we all can do that easily enough in one way, it's also helpful to pray beyond ourselves. And that, for that purpose, we have guides that different organisations put out. I use Barnabas Aid, for example. We're encouraging to pray for persecuted Christians in all parts of the world. It's amazing how sad the stories are there. But it helps to be able to pray specifically in that area. And there are other areas of prayer, of course, that we might, the City Mission, they put out a prayer leaflet, and you know, the kind of thing. So I find a time of prayer like that is very useful. But I find this habit to be one that I use at the beginning of the day. But I know some prefer to have a devotional time later in the day or some other time that suits their circumstances. But what I'm really commending, I think, is a routine, a habit, a routine, so we don't get overcome by the busyness of the day, which can easily squeeze out a time with God. And we can forget it altogether if we're not careful. So we all operate in different ways, don't we? So what I'm saying happens for me in my comfortable way may not be the way it works for you. I would encourage you to spend time with God regularly. It can make such a difference to the way we cope with so many issues in our world and the world at large as well, of course. And as well, of course, it gives God a chance to speak to us through the scriptures we might read, but in other ways too, just in the silence. As the song we sing, sometimes puts it, holy words long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart, ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We close with prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of prayer, that amazing, wonderful gift. Help each one of us to keep in touch with you and always to trust that you know best. Grant us a thankful heart. Grant us a growing confidence in your truth and love. And as we sang earlier, slightly adjusted, let us be still and know that he is God, for he is the Lord that healeth us. So in you, O Lord, do we put our trust. And for that we thank you, dear Lord. Amen.